Hey, everybody.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome again to Coffee with Candace J. I'm your host, Candace Jones. So let's grab your coffee mugs, whatever you like at this time of the day. You could tell I need some more coffee, but grab your coffee mug. Let's sip and let's chat together. I'm so excited because today's special guest is my hubby, Mikhail. Everyone say hey to Mikhail.
What up?
Yes. So grab your mug as well. I grabbed him one. He's not a big coffee drinker. So what are your favorite drinks since you're not a coffee drinker like myself? What do you like?
Sweet tea and Coke.
Yes, that's his thing. I don't drink sodas, so I don't drink Coke at all. Not Sprite, not Fanta, not nothing that like that. I love sweet tea as well, but I am a coffee drinker. I drink coffee every morning. That's a part of my routine. So I love just good coffee and conversation. So today's topic is interesting. Last week, we talked about adoption awareness. It's not Adoption Awareness Month. That's in November. But I really wanted to start off season two focusing in on adoption, the adoption process, what it's like to be an adoptee. Shout out to my friend who was our guest last week, Shalina King. And this week I said, well, let's follow it up with talking about our story. So today's topic is instant parenting. So I brought in my husband so we can kind of talk about our journey. And it really can take quite a long time. You really have to just sit down and talk to us more, ask as many questions as you want once this is over with, because we're going to give you like the short version of some things. So this isn't prolonged. We may have to do a part two. I don't know. But I want you guys to be able, once you come on live, to like, share, but also give your comments, give your questions, and just learn a little bit about the process. Maybe you've been thinking about adoption or fostering, and maybe we can answer a few questions for you. So I'm going to start it off with just going back to 2022. We moved to Georgia in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, but just taking us back to 2022, my husband actually was the one who made that final decision. We've been talking about it before several times, even when we were in Memphis considering adoption. But in 2022, you made the decision to apply with our state to adopt. Can you take our viewers through that initial process when you first said, okay, I want to consider adoption through my state? What did that look like? What were the first steps?
Well, the first steps, you have to do an inquiry. You have to sign up and you have to take these classes. So once you sign up, you go through these classes. And then after the classes, there's tons of paperwork, a lot of paperwork. Multiple caseworkers, because you have a caseworker for each step. So each step takes a certain amount of time and a caseworker. Caseworker to help you with the initial process with the background checks. Then after that, you have to go through the other process of putting you in the system and go through the home study, which is the longest process out of all, which is where they come out, ask you questions individually, interview you. And then after that, you have to go through, they have to approve the process, which takes about, it depends on the area. So in Georgia here, it takes about 3 to 6 months, maybe half a year. Then after that, you go through, they send you a letter saying you approve. Then the next step is you get another caseworker after you have about 3 or 4 of them. Then you.
Well, that was different. That was us. We had 3 or 4. Right. So that may not be everyone. We just had a cycle of different caseworkers.
So when you go through that, then you have to go, you have to do an inquiry with the child, and then you have to do some, make sure it's a match. And once it's a match, you have to meet our caseworker, their caseworker. And then it just goes on from there. And after that, it stay with you weekends and so forth until they move in and do 6 month trial. So long process.
Yes. Yeah. So the initial process was just first the paperwork, correct? So with the paperwork, how many pages would you say that we had to fill out?
Each paperwork I still got on my computer, it's about 30 plus pages.
And that was the first application. So the first plus. application was about 30 plus pages. So they were asking everything from my childhood, his childhood, our parents' childhood, our parents' upbringing, intimate questions between us. They talked about any type of addictions in your past, your health history. They dive in to who you are. And I get that. They're trying to get a feel of who you are because you're placing children who are in state custody with these strangers. They don't know you. They don't know anything about you. They just know the children and their history. So they're trying to make sure that these children are going to a safe place. And with the home study, can you kind of take us through what that was like? Because everyone has to go through a home study, which means they're studying your home. So what was
so that like? Once you fill the application out, that's like another 30 pages after the first one. The first stage, you have to get the physical and all that. So the home study is they come in and ask you questions, separate interviews, they walk around. You have to have, depending on the age group too. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the age group. If you're doing toddlers, I would say from 3 to about 10, then that home study looks a little different because you have to do, childproof everything. Yes. Versus when they like 12, 10 and up, well, I would say 11 and up, then you don't have to do all that. But walkthrough questions, you have to have smoke detectors, you have to have safety plans, you have to have plans of the plans of the plans, and then you have to take, they ask you questions, and like I said, separate interviews. And after that, it's more so of waiting on another person to input that in, and then they have to get approved. So it's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah. So as you said, with the home study, making sure that your home is safe. Not everyone has a security system, but just different things to keep the children safe, such as a home security system, the fire extinguishers, the smoke detectors. They have to make sure that they're working. Again, if it's a small toddler, that you're childproofing, put the knives away, the medicines away. If you have any firearms, make sure that those are in a safe. They have to check the safe and see how to get in there, things like that. So again, the primary goal is to keep the child safe. You also have to have a room for the child. So that means even if there are multiple children, because we adopted two, you have to make sure that you have a bed for each child. So even if that's a bunk bed or two separate beds, you have to have a bed per child. You have to have a dresser, even if they're sharing it, and a closet. So not just a dresser, but a dresser and a closet.
Very specific.
Right. Very specific. And they let you know of this list. So when we initially got approved for our boys, we were told, okay, well, they're going to start spending the night, you know, in a couple of weekends. It's like, oh, shoot, we got to go to this furniture store. We had to hurry up because we were given the date that they were going to start spending the night, not even moving in, but spending the night to spend time with us. So we had to make sure we went ahead and got the furniture, got things squared away. And again, ours was new, but it doesn't have to be brand new. You just have to have those things. And you also mentioned the safety plan. So I typed it out and printed it out and put it in a frame, and they have to see that safety plan every time that they do these home visits. It can be a pop-up visit, and they basically have to see that you have emergency contacts, emergency phone numbers, poison control, all of those things, like what happens in case of a fire. So depending on the children's ages, like our boys are a little bit older, they can read. And so they need to know, well, what to do in case of these things so that they're not just freaking out. At least it's posted. So I had ours posted in the kitchen. Now it's posted in their bedroom. And so again, a lot of the things is just, they're really just big on safety. So it's not about, as I said last week, you don't have to be Daddy Warbucks with a whole lot of money and you're just rich in this big mansion. It's just about providing safety and love for that child. So let's move on to discussing how those classes went for us, because I know he gave like a whole rundown of a lot of different things that we had to do in 2022, right? But within that time frame, there were training classes, as he said. There was therapy that we had to do, or they called it parent coaching. Mm-hmm. There was CPR. We just talked about the home studies. And can you kind of talk about your experience through the training classes so people kind of get an idea of what to expect?
Most of the training, because we are teachers, most of us, most of what we did was it was a lot of dealing with, you know, learning how to deal with trauma and discipline and there's so many other components that they had. But most of the stuff, training classes that we had, we went through, I think it was like 5 classes. Mm-hmm. And then you get your certificate. And so, you know, they had quizzes at the end. There are other families in there with you and you discuss things. So it gets a little personal and deep in there at times. So as teachers, we kind of got used to doing that. So we was used to it. But if you've never been a parent or never dealt with youth, those classes do help because it teaches you and tells you how to deal with trauma, what to look for. Like I said, discipline, how to deal with young people. And so it was pretty hands-on and pretty intense. But it's a good intense, though. It wasn't a bad intense, but a good intense.
So I love it that they gave us some real case studies, but they also, you know, let us know some real parenting skills. And I think that classes like this need to be taken really for all brand new parents. We're instant parents. And as my husband said, a lot of things within those classes were a lot easier, I think, because we're educators. So for those who work with children for a living, whether it's at your church, whether it's at a school like us, I think a lot of those classes, you'll hear a lot of the things that you experience through training as an educator. It's just basically behavioral management, de-escalating. So a lot of things, like you said, you'll find as you're interacting with your children or foster children that you're putting in those same practices that you do every day in your classroom or with your youth group. So you know that, okay, these children may have been through a whole lot of different things that we know some of it, but we'll never know to the extent of everything that they've experienced. One thing that we talked about in parent coaching or parent therapy was that anything can be a trigger for the kids. So I would say keep that in mind, that anything can be a trigger for them, because again, there's no telling what they could have experienced out, even through all the foster care, all the foster homes that they've been through. Everybody parents differently, right? So if they just left your home and they went to another person's home, then the next year they went to someone else's home. Our boys were in foster care for almost 6 years. That's basically half their lives that they were in various foster homes. So they had to learn discipline from all these different people, the expectations. We don't know how their hygiene was. We don't know the expectation as far as grades. So when they got to us, it's a culture shock for them. Like, yes, we're checking homework. Like, we're teachers. Like, we're going to check. We're going to do these things. We expect, you know, discipline and structure. But the parenting and coaching classes, as I was saying, was basically showing us that anything can trigger them. As I said before, it could be as little, and I'm just, you know, just coming up with something. It could be as little as a coffee cup. It could be a plant. It could be a smell. It could be a taste. It could be a food that you cook. So it's important to communicate with these children what may upset them, what makes them happy, what makes them sad. It's really important, because any little thing in your thing is just a regular day. But then, like, we've had days where it was just a perfect day, and then all of a sudden it was like, whoosh, just the tears and the crying and the cover in the face. And it's just like, we just had an amazing day. Like, what was that? Yeah. And we, you know, later on things can come out, but you just never know the little triggers. It could have been a smell, could have been in the store where we're walking around the store and all of a sudden they act out. It's like, was that something that was taking place, you know, with their biological parents? We just don't know. And so I believe that the therapy really does help. A lot of people shun away from there. Oh, I don't need that. I got it. I know how to work with kids. We help raise our niece and nephew. And, you know, back in Memphis, we got this. And you got to humble yourself. In my opinion, you really need to humble yourself and take heed. And it was a book that we had to read and go through. And so I really believe that you need to humble yourself, even if you've raised children, I would say that. And take heed to the therapy and the coaching, because these are not your biological children that you've already raised, right? So take into consideration, these are not your niece and nephews. These are not necessarily, these are children that have experienced something that you may have never even heard, that you haven't even seen in the movies, you know? So you need to just take that into consideration as you're working with them. So my next question for you is, what was going through your mind when we first met them? So we took you through the process of 2022. So now we were matched with our boys and we had our initial meeting with their caseworker and it's time to meet them. What was going on through your mind when we first met them, and kind of talk about that day and where we met them?
I think it's just as excited as they are. I think it's you trying to figure out personalities, wondering what they're going to be like, how they're going to respond to things. So it was kind of, it was an exciting moment to see, thinking about the future as they get older, you know, as we get older. So it was a exciting time and, you know, a lot of enthusiasm. And so just, I won't say unknown, but just expecting, you know, their growth, watching them grow up from, well, 9, 10, and 12 when they was 8 and 11. So it's just an expected growth. You got to have that expected growth mindset of, you know, positivity and just, you know they're gonna mimic you, do what you do. They're gonna watch you and just understand that when you pick kids from foster care, adopt kids or children, you gotta understand that they're gonna watch you and they're looking for new ways and new things. So it was exciting for me.
So what about that day though? So we met them in March. This was literally the week after I turned 40. So, or the that weekend that I had turned 40. So that was a great gift for me. So we met them at an IHOP where they were in foster care, in the city where they were in foster care. And so they decided to go to IHOP. So we met them in IHOP. What was like going on through your mind right as we were about to meet them?
Like I said, just the personality, you know, learning their personalities, because every kid is going to be different. And so getting them used to us, wondering, you know, want to learn about them, they want to learn about us. So it was more so of a learning process, like, okay, it's time to learn about them and they're going to learn about us. So that was going through my mind, the learning process.
Okay. So with me, it was very exciting, but I will say that I was nervous. I'm not, you know, typically a person who gets nervous a lot, but this time I was absolutely nervous. It was a bright sunny day in March. But you know that this is it. Like, we have matched. We know that we're going through this process, but it was very surreal. We knew what they looked like from pictures. They knew what we looked like because we had to send our pictures to them. We had to make like a little slideshow kind of about ourselves, about our dog, Shelly, things like that. And they had, since they're of age, you know, at the time, they were able to say, yes, we want, even though we matched, they could say, no, we don't want to meet them, or no, try somebody else. But they agreed to meet with us and get to know us. So I was kind of nervous too, kind of like my husband said, like about what were their personalities be like. But I was nervous as a mom to be. I was like, okay, what do we say? Like, first, when we get out the car, like, what is the first thing I'm going to say? What are we going to do? So we pulled up. Of course, we were on time. And they pulled up, you know, in their case manager's car next to us. And I was like, okay, we know that that's got to be them, because we saw some kids in the back and it could have been anybody. But we're like, okay, that's got to be them. And they got out the car. And so, again, my heart's just racing. But I remember going up to them and I asked them, I said, well, you know, I said, hey, I'm Miss Jones. My name is Candace Jones. And I remember my husband introduced himself and I said, you know, would you prefer a hug or a handshake? And no joke, the boys literally just both jumped on me at the same time and hugged me. I was done after that. It was like, you couldn't tell me nothing else after that. They did not want a handshake. They both just jumped in my arms and hugged me. They didn't even know me. So that was super, super special, super exciting. We went in to eat and they were just like motor mouths, just talking like we had known them forever and talking about what girlfriends they had. And I took your girlfriend. It was just like, guys, but it was super cute. They were ordering, you know, what they wanted to and just enjoying the conversation. It was very, you know, I think it was a really easy conversation. Yeah. They may have been nervous, but I think because their case manager was there too, they knew it was safe. They knew what was going on. So it wasn't like hidden for them that they knew that they were going through an adoption process. They knew this was not going to be a fostering process. So I think it made the conversation kind of easier as time went on. So I'm keep moving for sake of time. But how did you adjust? Because it, for those who don't know, me and my husband been together by just the two of us, you know, or don't let me try to think tonight. Ooh, Lord. Okay. Anyway, but it was just the two of us for a long time. So we've been married for 17 years. So this is our first year married with the boys. But last year it was 16 years married and we were just fostering through the process. So still it had been just the two of us for 15 years and then fostering in our 16th year. So that long of a time with it just being the two of us, how did you adjust from no kids, you know, just wifey to two boys? Can you talk about that real quick?
Definitely adjustment with, I mean, you used to be for the house, to the house being quiet, but then now, you know, it gets a little, more noisy and so adjusting, it was, I wouldn't say difficult, but it was just different as far as when you used to the house being quiet, it's just us and the dog. Now you got, two more individuals, you know, they might be playing with the dog and just even everything adjusts from like food preparation to work now to, you know, getting up early in the morning, which helps me stay on time as well. But adjusting from work, just the vibe of the house changes because you got two additional people in the house. The food wise, you know, feeding both of them.
Woo, because both of us now let him pause right there because y'all know I love to eat. I post about food all the time. So I'm a big foodie. If those who don't know, I'ma eat and you see my husband. So we gonna eat, okay? But now it's like the food is here one day and gone the same. So,
Definitely, like I said, just the vibe as far as the quietness is different. No more quiet, and you know they quiet at times, but also like the like I said, increase in budget too, because you got to get shoes, clothes, just household items, detergent, whatever. So the adjustment is, it was a great adjustment, but they keep you busy though. Just know that it's gonna be a big difference from one routine where you just used to come home. Now that routine is, you know, you got to pick them up from school, take them to practice. So it's a big shift in the routine, daily routine. So I'll say daily routine is the big adjustment.
Yes, for sure. Oh my goodness. So I love my nails. We're both in our 40s. Like, listen, their energy is through the roof. When I say through the roof, I grew up with all girls. And so it was noisy anyway. But boys, oh, my goodness, I can go down the list and tell you all what they had tore up in this house already. Yeah. A mirror. OK, going to my mama's house, broke a whole windowsill. The day this summer that we came just to visit, the same night that we came to visit, the windowsill. I mean, I'm talking about hole in the wall. I posted about that. So I can just keep going to like the noise. Like, y'all, hey. Then Auntie Pearly, my little character that I do on the side, like that started coming out like, hey. I'm talking about the noise, y'all. But I mean, but that's one thing that we prayed for. I prayed about it. Like, I want that good noise. And it is. But whoo, that adjustment when it really happened. Like, oh, okay, I need to find my quiet place. Let me find, like, we're down here right now. Like, they're upstairs, you know, eating their snack before we eat dinner. And I'm just like, woo, this is our little quiet area. This is our office. Y'all can't come up in here, you know, every other place. Goodness. So, but it has been an adjustment definitely to our budget. I'm like, where is my money? You know, the budget for sure. But the thing about it with, if you go through an agency, you're spending a lot of money through a private agency, but through your state, the good thing is, yeah, they pay for the whole process. So that didn't affect our budget. You could receive, you know, financial assistance through the state for adopting. They go to college for free, which is provided through the state because they were in foster care. So it's a lot of things. I don't want to say like, oh gosh, you know, you won't have any money. That's not true. Just saying, just know the initial shock of, I'm spending double. Like, and no, if you go to the grocery store, it's an adjustment from if I was just getting, you know, us a toothbrush, it's like, no, go ahead and get four. Matter of fact, get eight. You know, if I got to get some deodorant, get everybody some deodorant. Got to get some tissue, just get double for all the bathrooms. It's like you got to just start racking in even more things because you think that they have enough and it's like, no, we're out of that. So a lot of the budget and different things have changed. And kind of talked about our routine, getting up in the morning. But again, we're both educators. So he'll take the youngest to school because the youngest, his school is like right around the corner from his school. And then the oldest, his school is on the way to mine. Not really on the way. It's just drop them off and keep going. But it takes me about 45 minutes to get to work every day. It takes, so we commute to work from where our house is. So it would have been a 30-minute drive either way. But it takes me 30 minutes to get to his school and then another 15 to get to my job. So it's 45 minutes every morning. Yes. So that's a little bit different as well. So real quick, let's go into the name change. So for those who don't know, if you're fostering, that's one thing. But if you're going into adoption, you will need to get their name changed. Now, it doesn't have to be 100% the first, middle, and last, but they will take on your last name. You can decide to change their first name and middle name because our boys we're already older. We decided to allow them to keep their first name, you know, just out of respect. And they've already been through so much trauma and going through so much. We knew that that was kind of hard for them to fully understand. And they're going through a quick, you know, change. So we said, well, let's just keep them with their first name and we can change the middle and last name. And so we had to have these discussions with them, because it was still kind of hard to process at such a young age. You're not even teenagers yet. One's about to be a teenager. He reminds us every day. But it's still hard to process that you're changing your identity. You're becoming, you know, a Jones. So it was a lot. What, can you kind of expound on that, of that process? Yeah, or what it was like for you?
Well, definitely, you know, it was a mutual decision between us and them to change their name. So you have to let them know. So anytime you want to adopt, and once that, right before the final adoption, they ask you, you want the name change, because that's very important, those documents, because they get a new social security number, they get a new
birth certificate.
So you definitely want to make sure that it's a mutual decision between the kids and you, and just kind of let them fill it out first before you, you know, don't force them to do it, but just to let them know the reason why.
Yeah.
Because some
ease them into it.
Because some names may be a little different, maybe connected to different things. So you just want to make sure that you, it's a mutual agreement. So anytime you want to do a name change, make sure it's mutual. Just talk to them.
I would say this too, what we did, what we decided to do just to make it for them to be kind of a part of that process, because Jones is our last name. You're taking that on. You're keeping your first name. So we allowed them to choose their middle name. So it couldn't be, you know, something crazy. So we kind of created a list, right? And then what I did, the teacher in me, I created the name meanings. Well, I didn't create the name meanings, but I created basically a list and looked up what the name's meanings were. And so they were able to read through it. Here's this middle name. What does it mean? Here's this middle name. What does it mean? And they could go and, okay, now choose your top three. Okay, now let's talk about this. What does that mean to you? And so they were actually able to choose their middle name. So to make that process more special and take ownership as being a part of this family, this forever family, we allowed them to choose their middle name. And so I thought that that was pretty special as well. And as my husband said, I don't want to just speed past that. But they did have to get new social security cards. And again, that's for their safety. You all have to keep in mind, they're a part of a brand new family. You don't want any ties to something that would be dangerous for them. And so you want to make sure that the social security, you have to go through the social security office process. They had to get new birth certificates. So they still have the same birth location, time, you know, weight, length, all of those things. but it no longer lists their birth parents. It lists us. And so that may sound kind of weird, like because we did not physically give birth to them, but because they're adopted, that's that process. And we have adoption certificates. So when everything has to start going on through the health department, through the state, when they have to go to the doctor, we had to show them, okay, here's the adoption certificates, because their names were different before, right? So now we're showing proof even in the schools. So in the school system and in the health department, when they're starting to go to new doctors, you know, you have to prove you're their parents and we ain't somebody crazy who just took these kids. So it is a little process with that. And it may sound tedious, but it's not. You just like you would do at work. Okay, I got to get this paperwork, got to take it to this office, get it stamped, get it signed, whatever, boom, 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 and it's done. So it was a little bit of a challenge getting it back in the mail at certain times, like they messed up like the spelling of a name, had to resend it, stuff like that. So even during the time of like the adoption process, like the attorney's office had made just a mistake and got the names wrong. Like, and even like the petition, like that you're taking to the courts, because you have to have all this paperwork stuff done before the adoption day, before the court day. So we got paperwork back and it was like saying a name like Sally Sue and Mary Ann Jane have their parental rights stripped. And it's like, wait a minute, who is Mary Ann Jane and Sally Sue? That's not our boys. That I'm sorry, but that don't sound nothing like no two little black boys. I'm just saying it don't. So we had to go and get that re-signed and notarized. And it was literally like the attorney driving down here from Atlanta. I had to take off from work. And I'm so thankful that my principals, both of our principals and staff are just so supportive of, okay, whatever you got to do. I had to just leave. Someone watched my class. I had to go get this notarized. So if they messed up with any paperwork, you had to immediately get it fixed. So because these are legal documents and this is a legal process. So you want to make sure, you need to make sure that you read. I want to say that, please make sure that you read every line of those documents, every line, make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, because there could be a discrepancy. It could be a misspelled name, a date wrong. I think on something else, it was a birthday wrong. I was like, oh my gosh, but it happens. So, but we did our part by reading through it and making sure things were right. So make sure that you actually read, even if it's 30 to 50 pages, read every single thing before the process is finalized to make sure that it's right, especially on those birth certificates, all the new documentation that you're going to get. So we're going to keep it moving. What has been the most rewarding for you thus far as an instant dad, your perspective as an instant dad? And just kudos to my husband. I'll give him his props in a minute. But what has been the most rewarding for you thus far?
That's seeing the growth. I think seeing the growth and the improvements and the and I say support too, because you get a chance to see, you know, you see a lot of parents come to different games and practices. So now you get a chance. I get a chance to do that now. I used to see my brother doing it all the time with my nephew and niece. So now it's just like a flipping the switch. So now I'm doing the same thing from football to soccer to we did karate at one point. So a lot of moving pieces, but it is a great thing. It's being supportive. I think that's the biggest part of adjustment of schedule and support.
Yeah, I would say my husband's been so supportive since the process initially started. I mean, because we're both, you know, full-time employees. I'm not a stay-at-home mom. So, you know, I'm working and got to come home. And so it's not just, okay, we'll cook dinner right now. You know, sometimes he'll cook and he helps clean and the boys will help clean and take care of the dog. So it's a team effort. That's why I always say Team Jones. It is a team effort. So I wanted to give kudos to my husband because he has really been so supportive from the initial process, because it is a spiritual process. It's not just this physical process. It is very spiritual, especially during the name change, because the oldest, he really struggled the most with the name change. And I can't really go into detail about that, but for different reasons, but he really kind of didn't really fully understand that and it was really, really hard for him. And so that took a lot of prayer. But my husband has been very, very supportive. You know, he's more laid back. Y'all know I'm the loud one. I'm the, you know, more of the chatterbox, things like that. But I would say, who would you say is more of a disciplinarian? Would you say it's me or you?
I think we both are. I think it's just different styles.
Yes. Because yeah. He's like, baby, don't take. Now, don't go in there. You don't have to say all that. Well, I got to say it. Well, I need to. Well, we going to stay up and do some write-offs or something. Because I can't just be quiet and not say nothing and just let him learn on his own. I'm sorry, but and put your comments in the stream if you want to. Give me some more tips about instant parenting and discipline. But listen, it's going to be a little bit more than just a good talking to. I need to, we're going to do some write-offs. We need to stand in the corner. We need to repeat 100. What we got to do? Because take this phone. Now, you've been great with that, taking the phone and all the things. But listen. Oh, anyway, I digress. But it has been very, very rewarding. Definitely as a mom, I would agree. As well as what my husband said, I've always wanted boys. I grew up with girls, you know, but I've always wanted boys. I've always seen myself. I visualize that. I've always seen myself as like a basketball mom. I love the game. I support my husband. I've always supported my husband when he's been coaching for a million years. Anybody who knows us, you know that I'm sitting right behind the bench. I've been doing that since he was playing in college. I'm hollering and fussing like I'm coaching. So I've always just envisioned that of being a basketball mom, a sporty type of mom. It's not to say that girls don't play sports because I did, but just saying I knew that I just saw that type of thing. And I just know that's kind of more so my demeanor because girls can be a lot. I know I'm a girl. I grew up with two other girls. You know, Simone came, my youngest sister came a little bit later, but it's a little bit different raising girls than it is with boys. And so I think that fits, you know, more so my personality. But they I love that fact of seeing the difference between the nurturing side of me come out a lot more. I've definitely seen that nurturing come out a lot more and being able to talk to them and hug and, you know, dad, they'll do their dad things and I'll do my little dad thing, but they come to me for all the hugs and, you know, all the things like that. So I just, you know, it's been great. It's been very rewarding to see God answered our prayers, just to see that we're walking in this. Like, you know, we got here in 2020 and like, look at where God has brought us from. Like, look at this house we're in. Like, this is crazy. Like, if you know, it's just like, man, if you came to visit, I mean, you can talk to anybody who's coming to visit, you'll be like, this is crazy, like, how far we've come. Like, I just give God the glory for real, because I'm like, man, we envision this, we dream of this, we pray for this for so long, and it's like, man, y'all really got some kids up in here, like, y'all really, like, some kids, like, and it's real. So the love is there, the love is real. You know, of course, it's some challenging days. I'm not going to say it's not because we're getting to that. But that love is there. And so I'm super happy, just very happy. And I would say to that, we've said what's the most rewarding and what brings us joy. But what is the most challenging, you would say?
The challenging, I would say, is the, you know, learning and dealing with personalities and then matching that to I would like to call it creative discipline plan, because you gotta, all kids are different, so you have to have a creative discipline plan, because one is not like the other, so both of them are different, so you just have to kind of distinguish of what and when to implement things. So that's what I would say about the challenging part, because they did, you know, foster kids, they come out of different situations. So they grow up differently than we did. So you have to be able to be creative. So that's the biggest part. Natural discipline, I would say natural discipline implementation, like we grew up, may be different. It's going to be different from when you adopt. So you have to kind of, you know, play around with different creative discipline thing. So that's why I would say just being creative when it comes to discipline.
Yeah, I have to. I always joke about this because some people, as I remember, we did our meet and greet back in Memphis last winter. And people were like, you know, because Carol's real chill. You can hear him. If you're listening to the podcast, you can hear my husband is super chill, laid back. Like, that is him. Like, he's super laid back. Now he'll do the dad jokes. He loves to laugh. We love to have a good time. You know, he loves to laugh. He makes me laugh all the time. But he is super chill. When I say super chill, I cannot just express that enough. He is super laid back, super chill. But do not get him riled up because Kale is still from South Memphis. So I joke about this because the youngest was having his little tantrum one day. And this was early on. I don't think the adoption was finalized. Was it? I don't think it was finalized. It may have been. I'm not sure. No, it was, because it was like the Christmas time. So last year. And so our youngest was throwing his little tantrum for whatever reason in the car, right? And we were in Atlanta, and I'm just trying to talk him through it, and just I'm trying to hold it like I just don't understand. Kale was like, "Hey, Mike." So anybody from Memphis, you know, if you throw out the "Hey, Mike," like, listen, it may not make sense to you if you're not from Memphis, but you throw that mine in there, like, it's like you need to straighten up. And when Kale's voice raised, I was like, yes. I was like, yes, thank you. It came, thank you. It was just, yes, the breath of fresh air that I needed. Get up, like, "Hey, Mike." Yeah, that's all he needed. That's all he needed. Like, let it go and come out. It could come out, you know. So I mess with him about that, but I love that. We're going to keep it moving again for sake of time. If you have comments or questions, please share them with us while we're here. Again, this is just a brief synopsis of some things I want to go into real quick. How important is it to have a village of support, in your opinion?
Communication, because you know you can bounce ideas off each other. So let's support communication. So being able to talk to one, because everybody, believe it or not, you know, have maybe dealing with some of the same things, but like I said, you have to bounce ideas off each other. And that support of you know, if you fuss at them, then somebody else get on them too. So that was big. I think that's the biggest thing with us growing up. I will say the 80s babies, that's one thing that we had, that, you know, if not only the mom or not only your family get on you, but you had neighbors get on you, you got teachers that fuss at you, and all of them want to see the same thing. They're just trying to teach you the right way. So yeah, that's that that same, hearing that same concept, discipline concept, that same voice. So that's what I would say. It's just hearing that same voice. So
yeah, I would agree. And initially, right as even from the beginning, we've had a lot of family support. They asked that in the process. So we talked about all those questions that they asked, and they asked about your family. A part of those questions is asking about your family support and if your family supports you adopting children. So keep that in mind, that that is a question that will be asked, and they will actually contact certain family members. I believe they contacted your mom. Mm-hmm. I want to say they contacted my mom and my dad. I'm not sure if they contacted my sisters. I'm not sure. I can't remember, but I do remember them contacting our family members, our immediate family members, and basically just seeing, you know, truly do they have that support? Because it is important for your family, your extended family, to know that this is our family. You know, even though we're not blood, the love makes us family, and they are not to be treated any differently. And so that is a question that will come up. And we are just so blessed that we have family that have been so supportive from day one. We had a meet and greet in Memphis to my cousin. Shout out to my cousin, Niecy. She made T-shirts for everyone who came to my dad's house when we came to visit Nashville for the first time. And this was during the process. So this is before the adoption. It was like the summer of 2023 last year. And so we had, it was a big pool party. It was a big meet and greet, like barbecue, and everyone's in the pool. They got to meet a lot of the little kids. And so everyone had t-shirts on, and that made the boys feel so welcome. They had their names on the back, and we had mom and dad on the back. And so we had a lot of, we still have a lot of support from our family, from friends, the church that we have joined here. So thankful for them, our pastor, his wife, our worship pastor. I sing on the praise team at our church, and our worship pastor, his wife, they all came to Atlanta. And again, it took us like an hour to an hour and a half to get to that courthouse for adoption day. They all drove down and were right there with us. That meant the world. That meant the absolute world to me, just to see that we had that support physically, that you all are here with us. And it's like, it's almost like that pledge of we got your back. You know, we are a family. You know, we were still kind of fresh to the church, but it's like we're here with you as you're raising your kids. And so even the worship pastor's wife, we're good friends. She ended up helping tutor him, you know, through school and like his struggling subject. And so it's just been such an amazing village. And I just thank God again, you pray for that. So I would say, if you're thinking about fostering or adopting, pray for your village, pray for those people who you're going to be connected with, who can be emergency contacts, who can be a safe space for them, even if it's babysitting, right? If we want to have a date night, and who can we trust to watch the boys, you know, that they feel safe and comfortable with. So again, like that village is really just so important, you know, so not just in the physical aspect to be there for you, but spiritually, who's praying for it. So many people from back home have been reaching out, and I'm just so grateful, you know, that they reached out. How are y'all doing? That's what we need. A lot of times people think, because it's Kayla and Candace, oh, and y'all been teachers, y'all been around kids forever, oh, you got it. Like, some days it's just like, whoo, I'm stressed out. Like, thank you for, I posted about that before. My God brother just out the blue, like, checked on me. I was like, I really needed that encouragement today, because he was adopted. You know, reach out. We still don't mind those things. Like, we all need, no one is perfect. We are not perfect. So I really appreciate people who reach out and just say, we just wanted to see how the boys are doing. How are you all doing? You know, how do they work through this? We love to meet them. You know, that support really means everything. Even if you can't physically be a village with us because we've moved away and we're here, you know, that spiritual support and even just meeting them just means the world. So we're coming kind of closer to the end, but I thought of a couple of things. TV shows that come to mind when you think of adoption, because I started watching this series on TV about different strokes. And just kind of, you know, Gary Coleman's life. And I was watching a docuseries. So Different Strokes was groundbreaking because you really didn't see blended families back then on TV. You saw the movie Annie. The Bernie Mac show was very groundbreaking. He let the world into his life as he brought in his sister's children. A lot of times you'll see that in some adoptive families where they'll bring in relatives of them. So how different or accurate would you say the shows are in real life? I know Bernie's was based on real life. Every little situation may not have been real, but how accurate or what would you say in comparison?
Definitely the personalities, because when you watch the Bernie Mac show, like I said earlier, you see the different personalities among the three kids. So that's definitely with that, the different personalities. I watched Annie a few times, especially that, I would say that would deal with more, I guess, once again, creative behavior, creative discipline implementation with that, because Annie was a little different as well. Different Strokes, I watched that sometimes, but definitely that showed you the willingness to, I guess, to learn each other's culture there, because that was a totally different culture. Both of them had, you know, he had a young African-American, then a white family. That would more so speak to those, if you adopt
interracial
another nationality. Mm-hmm. But all of them, as far as like just personalities and family structure for both of them. So all of them got different family structures.
Yeah, I would say Bernie Mac would be the closest to us. If you've ever seen the Bernie Mac show or watched some of the reruns, I would say that that would be kind of model like, you know, because it was just Bernie Mac and his wife. They were both, you know, working and doing their thing. And she's like, I'm going to work and I just got my hair done. And it's like, then the kids just mess up the hair. It's like, I just got my hair done. You know, it'll be those things I've seen on those episodes. And it's just like, the kids will tear up something. And he's like, all right, but don't touch that. Like, looking in my living room, like, look, but listen, we ain't gonna go in that room. Let's create the basement. The whole basement, you can have at it. But that right there, let's not touch. So I would say Bernie Mac show was a good comparison to real life for us. Annie was a musical, and again, it was, you know, a lot of fictional things and how she was disciplined, and that was crazy. That was out of order. But you know, some kids will go through some devastating things, as you have seen in Annie, and even more devastating things with the foster care system or wherever they are. So I would say that that's why they need a safe place. But as far as just being adopted in this whole rich is just perfect and he's rich and all that, that's not real, you know, for everybody. Same thing with Different Strokes. Again, they set it up for you have to be just this well off, like you're, you know, and you don't have to. You're just regular everyday people just like us. You can be regular everyday people and it works. So as we're kind of wrapping this up, would you say that more men need to consider taking in children and fostering? Or what advice would you give to certain men who are thinking about it?
Definitely, it's a need. When you look at statistics, statistics show the amount of kids that's in foster care. I think over 300,000.
Nationwide.
So, yeah, you definitely, you know, a lot of them is unfortunate enough that they don't get a chance to have a forever family. But it's definitely, man, it's something that that's a blessing. So, and you know, it's something that's really needed, because you got all them kids. You think about it, a lot of them don't have a home to go to every day. And even if they do, foster kids get swapped out. They can get swapped out every 3 months, every year. So you go into different households, different discipline styles, different food styles, as we learned. While we was looking to adopt, we had to
the respite.
Yeah, they call it respite care, where you're allowed to kind of get your feet wet a little bit and watch.
Under
emergency care. So you just learn the different styles and different ways that that you can help those kids. So I would say definitely consider doing it, because you'll be a blessing. Now, it may not always be with the process when you get to meet them. It may take them a while to adjust to you, but it's worth it. So,
yeah, I would definitely agree with you. These kids need not just that mothering, nurturing person in their lives, but a male mentor, you know, a strong man to help them navigate through what they're going through in their lives. And, you know, my husband's always been a mentor to various young men, even in Memphis, from a big brother, big sister, and different things like that, where as a coach and things like that. But this is even to the next level as far as taking in and fostering. I would say, if you're a male and thinking about it, you know, this is a great way to be that role model in their lives. They need that discipline. They need that structure. And they need a man to, you know, to guide them in that direction, especially for another young man. That's what I'm referring to. But that's the truth, you know. And someone that they can relate to, you know, someone that they see looks like them, sounds like them. And I'm not trying to say that you can't, you know, bring in children of various races and cultures. You can. And you can get along great and do great things and still love that child unconditionally. You really can. But my point is just saying to see the representation there, that someone who looks like me cares and loves me as well and is mentoring me as well. That's what I mean by that. But also, as he was saying, with the different cultures, we did emergency care, and we had an emergency care, respite care situation with a young lady who just needed to stay overnight or for a weekend. And that can be during the fostering process. And She loved the food that we made. I made this pasta and she was like, can I pack up some with me? Cause where I come, they just don't, they don't season, they don't do this. And I'm just like, yes, baby, take all you need. And so we'll see you any other time you need it. You know, we're here. So I'm thankful that she's reunited with her family. There are some situations where children go through reunification. So they're back with their biological families. And there are some situations where the children stay in foster care. Some may age kinship.
Where kinship is basically where the family members take over and be the parents. So it's kind of like if an uncle adopt their nephew and niece. So that's like kinship. So family related.
So kinship, you have where they reunify with their biological family. They may age out of the system. And we don't want that. As he said, there are over 300,000 children currently in foster care in the United States. So it's not about Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you know, no matter their background culture, we have got to love and take these kids in. I love that there was a movie that came out about adoption, and I can put that in the comments later. You know, about there's another movie that we had to watch during our training called Instant Parenting. And it is so true. I love that movie because it really reflected, you know, some people get in mind thinking, oh, I'm going to make them these big superstars. No, just they may love the violin. They may love tennis. They may not love basketball and track and the things that, you know, we love. And that's okay. So, you know, don't just go in with this high expectation thinking it's going to be this one way. Because, again, you didn't raise them. They didn't come from you. Initially. So make sure that you just keep an open mind to various cultures and customs. Okay, well, how do you do this in your culture? Teach me, you know, so just be an open mind and learning from each other. But at the bottom line, they need that safe space. So what are your final thoughts as we're concluding tonight? What would you say are the most important values to teach as an instant parent?
Patience, creativity, and like I said, patience, creativity, and love. I think those are the three. Patience, creativity, and love. So all three of those, amongst other components, you can, those are values that you can learn, especially even if you're not in an education system like we are, but just those three things get you through.
I love that. Patience, you're definitely going to need. Any parent knows you got to have a lot of patience. So again, keep it in mind and taking a step back, you know, to reflect that, okay, again, this may be a trigger for them. This may be, you know, what they learned growing up. Maybe they never learned this particular thing. And I can't go into some detail, but maybe they never learned how to do this. And you're like, but they're 10, they're 11, they're whatever. But maybe they never learned. Maybe they were neglected. Maybe no one ever taught them. And so you got to have some patience, not thinking, boy or girl, you know how to do that. Maybe they don't. You have to take a step back and not be so hard on them and to think, okay, maybe no one literally never taught them. Did they just have them in a room and they just turned on the TV? Like, we have to now teach them these basic skills, these basic things. And so I would say just keep that in mind when he said patience. You may have to start from literally ground zero, no matter how old they are. Yeah. You may have to start from ground zero teaching them some basic skills. So be patient with that, but enjoy the journey with that. Of course, love them through it because that's what they need the most. Love them through that. That's what they need. Sometimes it may seem a little clingy, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And you know, we learn a certain time and place and things like that, but you have to make sure that we're teaching them proper values, how to respect others, how you, when you go in a room, you speak to people, right? You're not going to, and again, I believe my husband was saying earlier, it's kind of a different way than how we grew up. It's not, you know, try not to come off so strong, you know, with it. Like when you come in the room, you better do this. Like, you know, they're a little bit different. So we're not going to yell, but just be like, hey, you know, this is what you do when you go in the room. Make sure, you know, you look people in the eye, you speak, you know, not calling them out in front of everybody. Because again, certain things can be certain triggers. So you got to keep those little things in mind. Like you can't just go around, you know, hitting them upside the head or just playing with them like they, like they may have been abused, mm-hmm. right? So little things like that, they may look at you sideways. Like, so you got to keep those things in mind. And it's not to say walk on eggshells. It's just to say be mindful. You know, just be mindful of those little things, to be patient and loving and show yourself some grace as well that you're learning. So learn through this process with them. We're learning as instant parents and they're learning, you know, as our children and how to make this work. And so we keep that communication open. I would say communication is a great value. You know, you can come to us, you know, we're going to come to you. Look, I'm concerned about this. This is concerning for me. Okay, when you do this, that concerns me. This is how I feel. So we have to do things sometimes a little bit different than how our parents did. Instead of just going straight to whooping, and that's why, we need to sit down. We need to talk. This is concerning me. This is how this made me feel when you said this or did that. Why? Let's talk. Let's go. What went through your mind with that? Yes, they go through therapy. Yes, they go through counseling every week. But we as parents are their first counselors, right? And spiritual leaders as well. They're in the church. They're learning the word, and we're trying as parents that the word says to train up a child in the way that he should go. So when he is old, he will not depart. We're trying our best. You know, what does this mean? Do you understand that? So literally, we're not just teachers by profession, but I do believe that parents are a child's first teacher. So it may be tiring at times because we're with other people's kids all day, but we have to come home and still keep teaching. We can't just let them be up in a room and turn on the video games. And sometimes we're tired, and I get that, but it's so important to make sure that we're communicating and spending some valuable time with them. Be creative, as my husband said, you know, go outside the norm. Like, we weren't soccer people, right? You know, Kale, basketball, football, all those things, right, that he knows well. Me, track, basketball. I can tell you, talk about it all day. I can watch it all day. Soccer, it can be exciting for a few moments, but I wasn't just into it. But the youngest loves soccer. So what do we have to do? Learn soccer, right? So get creative. Get outside. We had to buy a bunch of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, being creative in those types of things, getting, you know, learning that what interests them, and just learning it yourself and being more creative of things to do, even as a family, whether it's movie nights, whether it's just a lot of different things. And we can go on and on with that. But and again, share your thoughts as well. You can always email or put in the comments if we're live. But as we're just wrapping it up with final thoughts, just if you have any prayer requests, again, send those to us. Continue to pray for us. This is a journey, right? This is a journey that we're on, that we're enjoying, that it has been challenged, some challenging days. I got to keep it 100, you know, as the kids say. It has been challenging days where it's just like, man, like, I'm not seeing this behavior change at all. Like, Lord, what are we gonna do? Well, I told the oldest, like, you're gonna have to take that up with the Lord at this point, because I don't know what to do. You is between you and the Lord, because I'm not trying to go there with you, you know. So y'all know, being a preteen and becoming a teenager, so it's like, yes. So, you know, it's like, it's, you know, you got to just keep in mind, it's a journey for us all who are parents, but especially as instant parents, you've got this. Just remember to keep the communication open, keep the communication lines open, listen to them. Everything's not going to happen overnight where you just expect them to share literally every little thing. It'll be sometimes, I've shared this before on here, where I could just be in the kitchen cooking and the youngest was sitting there eating, just, oh, this is what happened when I was in a car seat. Like, wait, what? You know, so it may not just come out through their therapy or just us trying to press it. Well, why don't you talk about this? Sometimes it just comes out naturally where they just want to talk. So don't force it out. We never did that with them. Even with calling us mom and dad when we were in the process, that was their choice. Because at first, when we introduced ourselves, I told you it was Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and even their case manager said that. But they were playing down in the basement, and they were just like, you know, well, can we call you mom and dad? Like, because I mean, y'all gonna adopt us anyway, so we might as well. Why are we still doing Mr. and Ms. Jones? I was like, oh, okay, you know. Of course, I went to cry in the car. But I said, yeah, sure. But it's no pressure. You know, if you want to wait a while, you know, it's up to you. Whenever you feel comfortable, you don't have to, you know, start calling me mom and start calling him dad. You know, just it's really up to you. You know, take your time. It's no rush, you know, but that was their decision, you know, so don't press it. Just put that force. I think you said earlier, like, take your time with it, because this is a journey for them too. They're going through a lot of transitions, a lot of changes. So make sure you make them feel as comfortable and as safe as possible. Any final thoughts from you?
Just if you know, make sure, just be prepared to go through a lot of paperwork, but it's worth it in the end. So just keep going. That paperwork, it gets intense, and it's a good intense. They just want to know about you. Make sure that you are for real about it.
Yeah.
Right. Because you know you don't want to disappoint a child because you went through the whole process, almost a year process, and then say, I don't want to do it. It's going to take time for the match to match you up. So be patient. So
definitely. Well, I thank you guys for tuning in today. Make sure that you follow my Facebook page, Modern Day Hannahs. I dive into a lot of our process through my book, Modern Day Hannahs. If you haven't gotten it, it is available on Amazon. If you've gotten it and you've started reading it, make sure that you leave a review. And again, for all the listeners out there, it is available on Amazon, Modern Day Hannahs. And it goes into detail for encouragement for women and men who are longing to be parents. It says encouragement for women longing for motherhood, but I've learned it's also encouraged some men who are looking to be a father, and they still haven't experienced that. And so being an instant parent is like no other. It's definitely a spiritual journey. It's definitely a different type of journey that you definitely want to pray about, you know, before just diving into. But it's definitely a call. But go to God about it, but he will see you through it, just like anything else. Just like taking on a new job, taking on a new city. And I'm not trying to say it's like being in a new city or a new job. I'm just saying when you've taken on those new challenges, those new things in your life, God has been with you. God will see you through. You may have a few challenges here and there, but God is always with you. So the same with this. This is a permanent decision that you're making if you decide to adopt. But you can even start with fostering, at least to bring a child into a safe space and just understand that you can do it. God will give you the strength and the wisdom and knowledge of what to do. You'll have training. You have your state behind you. They will walk you through literally everything. They will walk you through it. And if you still have questions, you have people who went through the process, just reach out to us, and we don't mind sharing it all. We're pretty much an open book. That's why I wrote the book. That I did. So I want to make sure that you all, you know, have any questions, like and share our live video. Thank you guys for tuning in. I want to thank you, hubby, for tuning in. Usually he's got some things going on, but today was a good scheduled day for him to chime in. He even had his coffee mug, even though he's not a coffee drinker. It's okay. It's okay. Like what we said, we're not going to force it. We're not going to force it. You know, coming to the light, other Carolinas, coming to the light, you know. But I brought the coffee mug with all the hearts just to symbolize my love for my husband, my kids. So with all the hearts on it. But till next time, sip and chat with us. And again, thank you so much for joining. And we'll see you next time. Peace.